Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Matushka's Right Peg, episode 40. Let's hope life, some kind of life, begins at 40 for Union, because 1 point from 18 doesn't suggest that we're performing very well at the moment. Joining me in the podcast studio this evening, full house with Kyle, Baz, Mark, and Donald. Welcome, gentlemen. Thanks for joining us. Been a tough weekend. Don, we'll start with you. Obviously, you were at the game, so I think that's why we're starting with you. Everybody's seen it, but you were there. Talk us through kind of your emotions on the day and how you saw things, because it's always different, I think, watching on TV as opposed to being in the air, pretty high up in the gods there in the away end, but with a magnificent view, hopefully.
Yes, yeah, actually, we deliberately, in the end, because there was a group of us, so we were in different places, so we all went up the back and stood right at the back of what is a really nice stadium, the Rhein Stadion, and I've been there before, and it's got amazing views from the top, actually, through the glass back to the city. You can just see the cathedral poking above the trees and the city, and that view became more and more attractive to my eye as the afternoon went on, I must say, because what was unfolding in front of us, even, you know, up in the gods, was not good, and we'll go through it and everything. I mean, it was a great atmosphere. You will have seen it and you will have heard it. There was 5,000 of us there. I've been before, and we didn't have anything like as much of the sections. We just had the corner, but we were pushing around this time, and everybody was really up for it. It was a nice day. It's a nice city, and it really was electric. And you know, in all of this analysis of where we are and what we've done and where we're going, you can't really question the fans' commitment, and of all ages, everyone was singing. The atmosphere was great, and of course, when we started, and we'll go through this, and I'm sure you'll have your view, you know, whether it was fortuitously or not to get the sort of start we did with the goals, it just made the whole thing, you know, even more exhilarating, if it could be. So the fall in the second half was pretty mighty. And I must say, you know, I was thinking about this, and I don't know why. I'm getting on. I've been watching football all my life. I've never, you know, been to see big glory teams. It's just the way it is. And I'm Scottish, so, you know, I've lived with the hope with the Scottish national team, and that's never been realised. So I'm not a big, you know, success chasing Charlie or anything like that. And indeed, when we all started going to see Union back in the day, which has been a while for me and Mark, not as long as Mark Jameson, but, you know, that was never the reason either, and it isn't the reason that I'll continue to go. But I do feel, I still, it really affected me, actually. I felt, I didn't go out at night afterwards. I really felt deflated, and that's continued. And I think I just feel a bit let down by the way the whole thing's happened the last few games. And, you know, I don't mind failure, but I suppose I'm used to glorious failure, and I don't feel like that's what I saw, or that's what I've seen over the last few games and some of the games throughout this season. They seemed to roll over, and they lost their structure, and they went out, and I don't know who called this, whether it was the coach or the team or whatever, but, you know, they looked like they were sitting back and defending from, well, maybe from the whole half, but certainly from the 60th minute. And that was just absolutely madness. You know, I thought that was just, and you could see it happening in the end. And I suppose the telling thing, sorry to go on, the telling thing at the end was people did walk out. The moment the whistle went, you know, and it's the thing, we all stay, you know, everyone behind the team and all that. And that was there. And there was a lecture on the pitch that by Ali, I suppose, by the capo. But lots of people weren't clapping. Lots of people left, and you could see it. I mean, these are a lot of people who Union is one of the biggest things in their life, and you could it was palpable how people felt disappointed and let down. Not something you often see, but was definitely there. So a bit of a rambling, still coming to terms with it, Mark, which is strange because I don't really football doesn't really affect me like that so much, but this one definitely did.
No, enjoyed the ramble done. Not at all. All valid points, and there's almost so much to unpick there. I mean, I think many people who support Union in our group, especially as you say, we didn't get in this to watch top flight Bundesliga football. I think that's taken us by surprise over the past few years. But I think the manner of the decline, both in how we've managed to come from kind of playing well at the Bernabeu to struggling against Bochum at home, I think the juxtaposition of sort of how far things have gone awry for different reasons. And Baz, I think we'll come on to you after this, and I think you can talk to us as well about your article that not everyone might have read yet, but we put on the Twitter page. But talks a little bit about where do we go from here, and what are the things that have gone wrong. But it seems, I think what you're saying, Don, as well, just to sort of recap on the last episode, we talked a lot about the change of a coach. Did you feel that much had changed? Because I mean, I do kind of agree as well with your sentiment that, yeah, we I mean the penalty itself was absolutely terrible, and it was lucky to go in. It kind of sort of was almost mishit down the middle and wasn't actually that powerful, and I think we got away with one there with the scoring of the penalty. I mean the marking was pretty third rate for the other goal. Not to put ourselves down, but those two set pieces, it was a huge, we were just given two get out of jail free cards, and people were like, right, okay, go for it. And we didn't go for it. We froze on a pretty big stage, as you say, fantastic stadium. And we decided just to batten down the hatches and go, okay, well, we've got our two goals. We can probably see this out. And things just went from bad to worse as substitution after substitution yielded inferior players, worse tactics. How did it feel for you in that second half? I mean, could you?
I mean, in the first half, I think, there was a bit of structure back. I don't know how much of that was adrenaline and how much of it was structure. To be fair, we've criticised him a lot. Brendan Aaronson was good. He was at least he was playing intelligent football, and they were getting the width a bit. And Trimmel helped down that flank. He made a couple of howlers, but they were getting the ball in. But I don't think tactically I saw anything radical, and you were always worried. I mean, of course we were worrying because of what had happened. But then in the second half, particularly with the substitutions, the first ones, it just looked like they had lost the plot. Again, I mean, Kyle will cover this, no doubt. I mean, Hollerbach was again, he's fast, but he doesn't really have a plan. We did have a few chances, and people were kicking the ground before they got the ball. We had a two opportunities for shots inside the box, but it's difficult, isn't it? It's difficult because in the situation we're in, when they scored one, you do part of your subconscious thinks this is going to go wrong, and it did. So there was a tension there, but they didn't look good on the pitch the second half. I think they held it together the first half. But what, I mean, I was a bit thinking, well, but what could you expect to put those coaches into that situation? So we can't really blame them, but there was certainly no, bounce like you sometimes get when a manager goes. Whatever dysfunction is in that squad was still very much there running through it.
Yeah, and I think the maybe come on to you, Baz, but some of those things that when you talked in your article about what's gone awry, they were really, really clear against Köln away. And one of those was the fact that we didn't have a big number nine to bring on. I mean, Behrens Behrens, let's be clear as well. Behrens has gone somewhere else. He didn't even get on the pitch at the weekend. I mean, maybe we can get him loaned back for an emergency loan for one game, just so we've got a target man. Or maybe Big Kev will come off the bench for Wolfsburg and score, and he'll be the one who gets us out of jail. Who knows? But tell us a bit about your thoughts, Baz, and how you see things at the moment.
Well, it kind of seems that once we've solved one problem, we've created two other problems. We've been talking about not being able to score for weeks and weeks. Now we're scoring like crazy and we're conceding even more. If you're talking about last Saturday, I mean, it was obvious that we didn't have a target man, but I think the main problem on Saturday for me was the lack of tactical discipline. 1 year ago, a 2-0 lead at Cologne would have been the end. We would have never, ever given away so many chances. That is completely lacking. And that's not the first time as well, because I can remember that we talked about the Bayern home game, that it was way too wild, actually. And you can lose 5-1 against Bayern Munich, but just the way we lost, it was just way too wild. We gave away too many spaces. I think that was the case against Bochum partially as well. Last Saturday, definitely. Look at the last attack, look at the last goal. It's absolutely ridiculous. We're outnumbered in the center of defense, actually. When that cross comes, we don't even stop the cross from coming in. There are still three or four guys on the other side of the stadium trying to come back. That is a lack of tactical discipline that is just inexplainable. Because sometimes I think, and I that's what Jo what Donald is referring to, that we're not giving everything, that we're not leaving everything on the pitch. And sometimes there are moments where I think maybe we are putting too much energy into it, and we should just be much more disciplined and keep the spaces tight, and make it much more difficult to play against us. And we haven't done that. I mean, even in the first half, there were two pretty good chances for Cologne to come back into the game. And I mean, despite that we were not at our best in the second half, they had already given up. They were one down in the 89th minute, and their goalkeeper was already on our half. That's how desperate they were, and they needed two goals. That has everything to do with tactical discipline, for me, and whether people are really up for the relegation fight. And I have my doubts whether we are ready for that.
Yeah, it's interesting about tactical discipline because I mean, there's a few things to say about that. I mean, firstly, is that once it gets to 2-2, at 2-2, they are relegated, and we do not have to face a relegation the possibility on the last day of actually going down. So you close the game out 2-2. It's not a good result, and it wouldn't have been a good result, but it's not the worst result in the world. To close that game out, Trimmel had left the pitch. There was clearly very, very little leadership. Fuck knows what's gone on with Khedira this season, but he is not the metronome that that we expect him to be and expected him to be previously, in my opinion. He picked up another yellow card. He'll be out, suspended for the game against Freiburg. That could potentially be a blessing in disguise as we're forced into a slightly different shape without him, depending on the performance of people who come in, naturally. But yeah, for me, Baz, completely agree. I think, yeah, very, very sort of naive tactically, and it was a game that we would have really, really put to bed another day. Mark, what was your view of the weekend shenanigans?
Yeah, I think what Don and Baz have said is I can only echo it, really. Of course, only from in front of a screen, but it was clear to anyone watching that that was exactly the way that we were going to go. If we managed to get into half time with that 2-0, I don't think that that we'd have had much bother in the second half, because as we saw, even with the huge sitting back, the Cologne attack was dreadful. Absolutely dreadful up until the 2-2. You could see, as Baz said, the sheer desperation that was going. They were getting close to the goal, and then all of a sudden, the amount of times they just wellied it like over the bar or wide, that's absolute meat and drink to any professional football team. You just like keep them away from the goal. And could we do that? No, we could not, because the reason for that was that for whatever reason it's been done, that the second half performance, scrambled, headless, witless, clueless, passionless, all the way through to the players, emphasized by the need for a French translation to tell Chris Badia to track back, you useless fuckwit, that if that can't come over in language from the coach, that they need a translation on the sideline. I mean, come on, this is bush league, absolutely bush league. And as you say, Mark, the attacking, after we've defended the entire half, going out for it and attacking at 2-2. I mean, I just struggle. I just struggle with it from a tactical viewpoint. You defend like not particularly well, but that's how you set up to defend. And then you go all out at 2-2 and get the and get 3-2 in the last minute. I mean, it's almost like we're making it easy for other people. That's the only thing that sticks out at me. And afterwards, I was even a little bit angry about Grota's interview after the final whistle, where he said, "Oh, you know, nothing's changed. We still know we have to beat Freiburg." Like, and he said he was seeing. He seemed the most unconcerned person in the entire world. And I mean, seriously, you've just, aside from the fact that this is your job application, basically, you just gave up a two goal lead away that would have relegated them, seen us with everything in our own hands, and then say that, like, oh, nothing's changed and it doesn't bother me. I mean, for fuck's sake, mate, that's not the message that I need to hear as a fan. It's not the message that the players need to hear as players. Scrambled, just all the way through, emphasised, as you say, by Khedira, who's like suffered one of the biggest drop off in form in living memory at Union, joining the realms of catastrophic mistakes that have happened in this season. Leitch, Knocker, Bonucci, Folland, Gosens, episodes of such asinine stupidity that you have to ask yourself what is going through his head. And the thing with Khedira that worries me a little bit and is the fact that it's always somebody else's fault for what he does. Always. Every time he does something, he could take somebody's head off at the neck and turn around to the ref and complain. He really could. I think it's a blessing in disguise that he's not there. I really do. I think we'd play better without him. End of story.
Yeah, I mean, it's not our style, I think, as a group to scapegoat anyone, and that's not the intention. But some of these absolutely ridiculous errors, the tactical setup, and then this Bedia character is absolutely useless. I mean, he comes on, and to describe him as a bit of a headless chicken would be doing a massive disservice to half of the poultry sector in the world, I think. The guy is absolutely fucking useless. And when I say useless, it's about when you're an attacker that comes on, I don't even expect him to score a goal. I expect him to close people down. I expect him to run like he's a professional footballer playing for a team and really representing the shirt. And this is where the disappointment for Donald and not going out for a drink, which is absolutely huge for Don, because I've seen a few defeats for Don and nothing would stop us going to the bar. Jameson, you're quite a mild-mannered person at times. You don't get riled that easily, and you've clearly got a bit of anger about you. I'm almost scared to come on to Kyle next, because Kyle will shoot from the hip and tell us how he sees it. So Kyle, go for it. How are you feeling?
Right, this way, it's just as well Celtic won the league on Saturday because it was dreadful. Like, Cologne's first win in a month. You know, we just keep finding new ways to fuck it up. And I agree with everything that's been said before, you know, to a man, and maybe we can remove Roussillon, Trimmel and Aronson from this, but they were all terrible. There was no fight in the team. They just completely bottled it. Like, I despair. I really despair. And it reminds me a lot of watching Scottish rugby teams in the past few years, be it my club side Glasgow or the national side. Because any time they get to a big game, any sort of system and plan goes out the window and everyone's trying to be a hero. And it doesn't work. And this is what watching Union is like. Everyone is trying to be the hero. Everyone's trying to be the player that fixes it, that solves it, that does the heroic thing that changes the game or whatever. And it leads to errors. It leads to mistakes. It leads to giving away the daftest penalties when the ball's going nowhere near them and stuff. And it's so frustrating. And we're now in a position that we really, this team shouldn't have been on paper. This team should have been, we said at the start of the season, fighting for Europe. We joked at the start of the season about, or well, we didn't joke. It's some joke now, but we joked at the start of the season about, you know, booking flights to Dublin already. You know, a German side did make an end, but no chance was it going to be us. You know, on match day, just after match day 26, the international break in March, we'd just beaten Bremen. We were on 28 points, and I was saying 34 will keep us up. I was right, 34 points will keep you up, but we can't make 34 points. It's a disaster, an absolute disaster. Like, at that point, we were 2 points behind Bremen, a point behind Heidenheim. We were 9 above Mainz, 10 above Kiel. There's no excuses, and it's clearly changing the manager. Our new manager bounce was what, 40 minutes? Like, it's going to do wonders. And now we have to play Freiburg next week, who it's their last game for Christian Streich. And, you know, everything that he's done for them, it'll be an emotional game for them, but they've still got something to play for. You know, we've managed to make ourselves an incredibly shit bed, and I'm really not looking forward to us lying in it on Saturday. I just hope that we come out of it and at least have something to play for. You know, it's, yeah. What can you say? It was just dross. Just a team, watching a team full of bottle merchants bottle another winning position.
And yeah, unfortunately, our day, obviously for Kyle, is they started off brilliantly with Celtic winning the league. So congratulations to Celtic, of course, and nice to win a local derby. I hear those derbies up there are something fairly feisty. Not been to one, but of course, Union were then reliant on Champions League finalists Borussia Dortmund getting a result against Mainz, and they obviously didn't get a result. Well, they got a result, but they got a bloody good thumping, I think we could say. Don, just bringing you back in there.
Sorry to interrupt. I just wanted to ask, probably Mark Jameson, but, you know, I was reading a lot of the social media after the game on Saturday, and I did mention that there was obviously discomfort and some people walking out of the game. But, you know, there is still this prevalent, and we've just demonstrated maybe the British side of football, because we're all being highly critical, but there is still this narrative that runs through a lot you read online about, you know, you young people, you don't know how good it was. You've only had the glory years. This is when you're on, you know, that we should accept it. There's a bit of a, I don't know if it's a fatalism, but there seems to be something that people just find really difficult to do what we've just done, which is which would go down really badly in some pubs and places in Berlin. I just wondered if you had an insight into that, Mark. Is that just the difference between maybe German football fans and British?
I think it's a fundamental difference between Union and other football fans. I think you'd hear across Germany, dogs abuse for players, their own players. That happens very seldom, and it's one of the things that surprised me, because when I first started going, certainly in the first 4 or 5 years, we saw you thought this was dross what we're seeing now. That was dross what we saw back then, and yet everyone was always behind. And yet everyone was always behind them. One thing that I meant to say it last week actually, because someone said, "Have you ever seen the team leave without saying thank you to the fans? Have you ever seen what Trimmel sort of almost started last week against Bochum? Have you ever seen that before?" And the answer is yes, I have seen it once before, and that was when we had a player called a goalkeeper called Marco Sena, and he was ex of Hertha, ex Bundesliga keeper, and he kept Jan Glinker, who was obviously Union through and through, out of the team, and in addition wasn't particularly very good either. So, and he was also a bit of a feisty character, so all the things came together not very well. And Glinka got injured in, I think, in the warm-up, and it was announced that Marco Senna was playing, and he got booed. He got booed in the lineup, at the beginning when the lineup was announced, and after the game, which Union won, they all walked off without saying thank you to the fans, and they said afterwards that was because that they booed the keeper. That was one of the most weird, like fan team interactions that I've seen during my time in Union. I think that too. I think that this cult of everyone being above criticism, I think it's a bit old hat, if I'm being quite honest. I think that there should be a place for criticism, without going overboard, without getting personal. And I think that if the players come out against Freiburg and we lose and somehow conspire to either go down or end up in a relegation playoff, then they should know exactly what we feel about them.
Yeah, I think Mark, I think you can't you've got to take the rough with the smooth, I guess, is kind of what you're saying. And and it's interesting one, Don, because I've watched a lot of toxic teams and then toxic fans, and you are in a real melting pot where it just kind of it's a death spiral situation. And I mean, the Howard Wilkinson era at Sunderland was a classic example of that, where you're just losing game after game. And far worse than the Urs Fischer period, if you want to call it that, when he went so many games losing. But sometimes these things can actually help, in the sense that fans can get on the back of a manager, and they're very, very quickly forced out, and things change quicker. I don't know many fans who thought Bielitsa was the answer. In many other teams in the UK, that guy would have probably gone. You would have given a new manager 5 or 6 games to see if they could just get those extra points. And as Kyle is rightly saying, we're not talking about gaining 10, 15 points here. We're talking about if we had one extra point, we could win and avoid relegation. For example, on Saturday. So if we had 4 extra points, we'd be clear now. So, Baz.
I think what you might be referring to, and Don as well, is kind of a stubbornness, I'd almost say, to Union fans, always supporting the management and the team, whatever happens, instead of facing reality. And Don, you mentioned Marco Grote after the game. And my first thought is, even after 33 games, some people do not realize the severity of the situation. And I think just my personal opinion, gut feeling is that we have been in denial all season. I mean, it was very bad under Fischer. Then we had a bump where we won a couple of home games. Then we were in a situation that Kyle mentioned somewhere in March, where we were at 28 points, and everybody was like, "Yeah, I mean, we've got Leverkusen coming up and Bayern München, but we'll get these 6 points somewhere." And we've really been sleepwalking right into this situation until it was too late. Mark, you said it. Bielica was obviously not fit for the job. We've been hanging on there for ages, and one could say definitely for a couple of weeks too long as well. We've got a new guy. Okay, I mean, it's his job to be positive, but how can you be positive after Saturday? And it still feels like we are in some strange form of self-denial. And then what you said, I think it was you, Mark, what you said about Kadira as well. It's always someone else. Last week, the welcoming of the fans was too energetic and too pumped up with the Bengalos. You know, it was too much. You're a professional football player. You should be pretty much be used to playing 50, 60, 70,000 arena stadiums with a hostile crowd. So if that is too much, then what the hell can we expect if we make it into the relegation and we're facing Düsseldorf on a Monday evening and 45,000 people are against us? Is that too much as well? Well, I get goosebumps talking about it because I don't want to be in the relegation, but I guess it's the most realistic scenario now, and crazy.
Mark, do you want to come in again?
Yeah, one thing that that came to mind in the last couple of days when thinking about this is exactly what Baz said about sleepwalking into this, and I don't know if there's a very well, personally, in my opinion, one of the best films in of the 1990s is La Haine, which is a French film, very very good, very very gritty film, and it has a parable in it where a man who's fallen off the top of a giant skyscraper, to calm himself down, every story that he falls, every floor that he falls, he says, "So far, so good. So far, so good. So far, so good." And that is exactly what happened with Union this year. We've always said, "I will be fine. I will be fine. I will be fine." The other teams are worse. The other teams are worse. The other teams are worse. And all of a sudden, this is where we've come. And that's what they said in Lahain as well. It's not the fall that's the problem. It's when you hit the ground. And are we going to hit it on Saturday is my question. So just to bring in our thoughts maybe for Saturday, what on earth are we going to do? What on earth are we expecting?
Nice to have a cultural reference there from 1995. Certainly a film worth checking out, everybody. Moving on to Saturday, as Mark rightly says. I mean, I'll just go first. One thing about this squad is that we do have a squad that's certainly on the aging side. I think we've got got a couple of younger players here and there, but there was something in the commentary about the average age of our squad. And one of the things that we do try to do, and it kind of links into this sort of how you set up tactically and how you close games out, and you don't always need to run full pelt all game and outrun somebody by 10K. But one thing Union have consistently done is outrun their opponents as a strategy. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to realize that this is going to fucking catch up with you at some point. And what we're seeing at the end of the season is this is really, really catching up with us. We can't play full games with the strategy of we're going to run loads more than the opposition. You have to have parts of a game where you keep the ball as well. And that kind of, you might keep the ball, and go in kind of across the pitch, go back, go forward, go back again. You've got to be mentally very strong to do that. Keep the ball, go nowhere. That is a way to win football games, and it is not something that this lot, for me, seem particularly capable of doing. I wonder whether it's a game plan that they would have the nous to deploy in the next three fixtures. And I say three fixtures because I certainly see us in a relegation spiel. I do not see results going our way whatsoever. I don't see us beating Freiburg. I also don't see the other two results particularly going our way either. There's teams with a lot to play for. It only takes the news from Bayern Munich that are winning against Hoffenheim to give Freiburg that kind of boost. I start. I've been hugely optimistic at times, maybe foolishly so, but I think the realism really now is setting in, and I just really don't think we have a capable squad to get us through three really, really big fixtures. I think the adrenaline will flow for the last game of the season, and then you need an experienced manager to come in and pick a team up. That wouldn't have been Bielitsa, and it's not going to be the current caretakers. And there's no strong leaders in the squad. But apart from that, I'm all things Union and can't wait to go to Berlin. At least I'm going to see you lot and get some dodgy black pudding at Baz's. That's probably going to be the highlight. That and my veg beer on the way to the stadium. But Baz, since we're coming to yours, start with you. How are you seeing Saturday, apart from the great hospitality that you'll be providing?
Maybe I'm still naively optimistic, but I don't think we're going to go straight down. I really cannot see Cologne getting a win in Heidenheim. Of course, the possibility cannot be excluded. They were pretty close 1 week ago. I think it was in Mainz, but I somehow don't see it happening. And I'm also convinced that if we win, we are actually going to stay up, straight up. And that we will not even play relegation. Then again, I give us about 10% chance of winning. I actually also have the feeling we had this worst case scenario against Bochum before the game, what we talked about, and it's exactly what happened. If we concede, we're done on Saturday. I absolutely don't have the feeling that we can bounce back, because one of the other big problems this year seems to be like mental resistance against the defeat coming back. I think Kyle might have some statistics on that, but I think we are the worst in the league when it comes to that, maybe after Darmstadt. So if you're asking me for a score, I'm hoping for a nil-nil draw.
Yep, and a nil-nil draw is just not good enough, is it?
It would bring us into relegation spiel against Düsseldorf, who haven't lost 12 in a row. We've never been very lucky against Düsseldorf as well. That's not going to be easy. I mean, on a personal note for me, it's kind of, I've always said, like, please no relegation spiel anymore, because they are absolutely the most stressful games in the world. And I happen to be in the Düsseldorf area when the return leg would be. So I would definitely have to visit. Donald probably has to visit as well. And is really not looking forward to that as well.
Yeah, the last time we were there, they did us right at the end as well. And then it started raining, so it couldn't have been a worse memory.
Yeah, indeed, indeed. I'm actually very close on the Thursday after that Monday, but my transport is already booked, and I don't think I need another away match, unfortunately. Long old way from Lisboa, but Don, I mean, are you resigned to the playoffs now? Do you see that as kind of almost a best case scenario? Because I mean, there is the obviously, just to give everyone the permutations, the Union lose and Köln win, as long as there's a swing in that goal difference, we go down. So how are you feeling about Saturday?
Well, I've become quite regular at dodging her predictions lately. Funnily enough, back in a while we were talking about fixtures at the end, and we wondered if this one would end up having meaning. And of course, it did last year, didn't it? The results were we were competing with them for that last spot. Now, our friends who run the one of the Facebook pages complimented us on the last pod, but said we were full of doom and gloom. So, well, rightly so, actually, it proved to be. But maybe we have to. I think mines have got the impetus and the role, and so I'm sort of thinking they might get what they need. I think Colm might have trouble at Heidenheim, because unlike us, they don't stop all season. They are full of energy. They're a hard team, and I was watching them the other week. You know, where they got a late equal, they got an equaliser in the second half, but they never gave up and they never stopped. So I think, for what Mark Jameson has commented the last couple of weeks, the weaknesses in Colne, I think they might be too much for them. Bochum, I think they're wobbling as well. And sort of Bremen, I think Mark, Kyle will tell me I'm wrong. I think there's a mathematically slight chance that Bremen could still get a European place. So there's something to play for. And of course, I'm sure we'll send them lots and lots of beer if they do manage to be there, to have a big factor in us staying up. So I think one or two of the dominoes might fall our way, but of course that leaves us with the problem, which we've all identified, which is which part of us is going to turn up on Saturday. And you know, I think I have to try and be optimistic this time. Surely they understand. I mean, whether that thing, you know, it was me that said that thing about was there too much pressure at the Bochum game? Well, there will be pressure on them, but it's now or never. And I want to believe, because I believe in Union and a lot of the things around it, and I believe in the philosophy, and I believe in a lot of what they stand for, that it will they will do right by it. And even if they play, even if they play really well and lose, that would be better than capitulating. So I'm slightly optimistic. There's a lot of cards to fall in different ways, but I think, and we don't deserve it because we've had so many chances and we've blown it, but there might be one last chance, as Baz says, to just get out of it completely on Saturday. I hope we take it.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt that the fans will turn up. The Alte Försterei is a real fortress. I think it was earlier on in the season when Stu James from The Athletic interviewed Trimmel, and Trimmel said he was away on international duty in Austria, and other players were saying what an intimidating atmosphere that is. You can hardly get your instructions across. The fans will do their bit, and all we're asking as a fan group, to be positive, all we're asking is completely right, Don, is exactly what I would say. We're just asking, and I think we've had the expression used before, but just leave everything on the table. We don't want to see any half-assed running and not really trying to close people down. This is a fucking battle, and it's time that people stepped up. And I just hope that being at home, that is, yeah. Something that can aid us, and as I mean, you look around at the different.
There's something also in what Baz said. It is about that, Mark. Absolutely, it's blood and thunder. But in the middle of battle, sorry, we're going to stretch the analogy here. But it's the calmness. You know, it's a calmness to be able to act that, you know, the great generals and the, if you look at war, that's how battles and underdogs and things are won. And okay, this is only a football game, but it's about not just letting it over, because channeling and controlling that energy and adrenaline, which, you know, which Hollerbach's a great example of not. And if he could just harness it, he would be a good player.
Yeah, and I think it's the Kadira issue again. I mean, rugby tackling people in the penalty area when it's right before half time and you're 2-0 up is kind of someone who just completely lost it in the middle of a battle when what you need from at that point, your experienced players, of which he is one, you just need people with calm heads. I mean, it's going to be an interesting day for people, especially watching on TV, because you'll be getting the live updates in the stadium. It's going to be, is the Wi-Fi good enough and do we know what's going on? We can still obviously swap places with Borkum. If they get beat away at Bremen and we win, we leapfrog them on goal difference. Great. Kyle, it really is one for the stato, isn't it? The final day, all these permutations. I bet you're loving that aspect of it as things are happening.
No, I would rather us be safe and not be worrying about anything like this. I would be happy to be sitting on 34 points at the moment. Or no, 35. Yeah, so like you say, Bremen have something to play for. That's helpful. We helped them out a few years ago. If they could pay the favour back now instead of the beer, maybe we can return the beer and we keep the beer exchange going. But we need to score a couple of goals. They need to score a couple of goals. Or one of us. If Bremen win, we win. We need one of those games to be by more than two goals. To leapfrog Bochum. Mainz play Wolfsburg. Mainz are probably one of the best sides in the league at the moment, unbelievably. And they play Wolfsburg, who've got nothing to play for. And Köln play Heidenheim, who are fighting for Europe as well. They're in a similar situation to Bremen. Now, unbelievably, we are bookies' favourites for the game on Saturday. And you don't see a poor bookie. So I don't know what they're on. But it's certainly not a rational thought. Baz mentioned about us coming from behind, and that we're not good at it, and he's right. It's happened some little times that I was able to look it up as he was talking. We've managed it four times this season, and we didn't win a single game. They were all draws. 2-2 against Heidenheim, a 1-1 against Mainz, 1-1 against Augsburg, and the 1-1 in Napoli in the Champions League. So, yeah, and like Don said, we don't deserve to stay up, if I'm honest. If we manage to do it, we're probably one of the crappiest teams to ever do so. I think we'd struggle against 2020 Schalke, and they were terrible. It's hard for us to go down automatically. Even if we do lose and Cologne win, because of the goal difference, as long as we don't concede too many, there is a scenario if we were to lose 1-0 and Cologne were to win 4-2, we would be level on points, goal difference, and goals scored. Goals for and goals against. In that scenario, we would beat Köln because it goes to head-to-head next. So we do have things like that in our favour. But hopefully it doesn't come to that. I find it hard to see us not be playing in the playoff come a week on Thursday. But I do hope we get a win to at least, whether that keeps us in the league or not, it would hopefully give some confidence going into a playoff. Or if it keeps us in the league, then great. All it does is speed up a lot of players getting out of the club, because that's what's going to be happening, whether that is players leaving the club for the final time on a week on Monday, or that is 2 weeks on Tuesday. It can't come soon enough, because the club, regardless of what league we're in, we need such a radical overhaul. We need to go back to what worked before, because signing these big money fancy players is not worked out. At the end of the day, they're out in there on the pitch, and as much as we're in the stands and we back them to the hilt, and as much as we criticise them here, not one single one of us would think about saying anything to them or booing from the stands or anything like that, I don't think. But they need to show it, because the people that have been with you across Europe and across Germany all season, oh, been nice to have something to cheer for once.
Yeah, Mark, just finishing with you on Saturday, as Kyle says there. I mean, we either need a result or we need a performance, because there's a strong likelihood that there's going to be another two games afterwards. So we need to find some momentum and arrest the slide somehow.
Yeah, I mean, to be brutally honest, I think that it's been covered by the other guys for exactly what we need to do. We just need to come out. We need to focus on what we're doing, not worry about what's going on the other pitches, all the permutations. If they score another, we need to score and all that sort of stuff. We need to put that out the back of our minds, and mercifully, that's actually probably quite easy for most of our players in terms of thinking, too much thinking at the moment. All they have to do is to be put in one frame of mind to concentrate on your own game and go out there and win. That's literally the only thing that you can say to them at this stage. All the time for talking is done, and I think that Rooney emphasized this. Rooney also emphasized this today, where he said we're not going to have a special discussion before the game, because it's been done now. So whatever happens on Saturday, will happen. I think that in a more broader sense, it's about more than football on Saturday, though, as well. That's what you're saying. I mean, we're all meeting up. What a difference a year makes compared to the last time we did it, where we were going to the Champions League, and this time we're going to the stadium like we're going to the hangman's noose almost, in comparison to last year. But ultimately, it's about us being together. It's about us being together. It's about us having a good time before the game, chatting shits and all sorts of stuff, and having fun, and hoping that things will turn out okay in the end. These situations that we have, invariably, the 90 minutes of football, 90 minutes plus of football, are the worst 90 minutes of the entire day, and I don't think it's going to be any different this time around. Fire up the grill, Baz. We're coming. The rest of it will sort itself out.
Well, let's hope it's not chat shit get banged. The time for talking is over, as Mark Jameson has rightly said. So we've been Matushka's Right Peg. That was episode 40. Please like, share, comment wherever you see the podcast, and we'll endeavor to engage. Und niemals vergessen, Eisen Union.